ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வியாசம் தத்தோ ஜாயம் முதிரயேத் நஷ்டாப்ரஜேஷு பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பாகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகே முகம் கரோதி வச்சலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதி கிரிம் யத்கிருபாதமகம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதரணாம் பரமானந்த மாதாவம் ஸ்ரீசைதன்யமீஸ்வரம். நம ஓம் விஷ்ணு பதாய கிருஷ்ணா பிரஸ்தாய புத்தலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினிதி நமினே. நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷூன்யவாதி பஷ்சத்யாதேசதரிணே. So we continue with the Bhakti Vaibhava discussion on the fifth chapter of first canto entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. We will discuss the last section of the chapter, verses 32 to 40. We will read the translations of most of the verses and sing and read the purport to text 33, and maybe discuss, read some parts of other purports and discuss the topic. Yesterday, to recap what we did yesterday, we read the section in which Narada Muni explains the story of his life in an introductory manner, the first part of the story. And it was related, the topics we focus on was Sadhu Sangha, because this was what transformed Narada Muni's life despite his personal disqualifications or shortcomings. So we discuss the importance of Sadhu Sangha, the need of accepting instruction and initiation from a Vaishnava guru among the sadhus. One initiation will be one, instruction could be more than one. One or more of the sadhus. And also we discuss the qualifications of the disciple based on Narada Muni's character. Oh, he didn't want to waste time. He was very gentle. He had a service attitude. He listened to the sages. He was faithful to them, and so on. 2 points from yesterday that I didn't mention, but I thought will be important to mention. Srila Prabhupada compares pure devotion to a positive infection. So, and particularly association of devotees is the means to pass on that transcendental infection. So whatever impurities we may have can be cured by associating with devotees, because we inherit, we obtain the good qualities of those devotees simply by associating with them, by listening from them, by just doing kirtan with them, serving with them, taking their remnants of food, or sharing prasad with them. But by such activities, naturally, we become like them. In this way, we become purified. And we saw from Narada Muni's character, for example, we heard yesterday that he didn't talk unnecessarily. So we can say he was a sober person. So devotional service is it's something very serious. And that does not necessarily mean we can be jolly, but jolly doesn't mean we are jokey about our activities. So we can be jolly, but at the same time, what we are doing is very serious. And that's something we may need to find our own balance according to our personal character and nature. We can be ourselves in devotional service, we can be happy, but yet what we're doing is very serious business. And we learn this from Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni is always singing the glories of the Lord. That means he's very happy. He's singing the glories of the Lord. He is encouraging others to sing the glories of the Lord. So this is related to yesterday's section. And today's section focuses on karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Narada Muni speaks about the importance of dedicating our activities to the service of the Lord. And Narada explains that this is actually the best remedy for all sufferings. Whatever problems we have can be cured, can be corrected by engaging everything in the service of the Lord. And when we engage our senses in the service of the Lord, we develop also an attraction to hear, chant, and remember Him. It is something that goes together. And Prabhupada explains how there is a natural relationship between working for Krishna and hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And actually, Srila Prabhupada established his Krishna consciousness movement on that basis. He taught us how to chant Hare Krishna, hear, chant, and remember Krishna, and engage all our time in performing services for the pleasure of Krishna according to our personal nature, to our psychophysical nature. This will be the Varnashrama principle, which in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned. It is actually Daiva Varnashram, or it is performing our activities, our daily activities, daily duties, for the pleasure of the Lord. And this is the highest perfection we can achieve. And by doing so, then we develop an attraction to hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. And this is explained in this section by Sri Narada Muni in order to encourage his disciple, the great sage Vyasadev, to write Srimad Bhagavatam and to glorify the Lord, and encourage the people to glorify the Lord while they perform their prescribed duties according to their psychophysical natures. So it goes in different directions, from ourselves, from our community, to the mainstream society. This is the principle of the Krishna consciousness movement. Working for Krishna, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. So translation to text 31 says, by that confidential knowledge, sorry, this will read yesterday, so it will be 32. O Brahmana Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And in the purport, something that caught my attention, Prabhupada writes, one should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish, because Narada was a child. So we could say, this is childish, like the Brahmavadis, Mayavadis, they will say, Bhakti Yoga is for women and for children. This is what they will, normally they will say like that. This is something sentimental for the people, they go there and pray. But people who are more sober, they will study Vedanta and they will become very serious, very, like, with a very austere, ascetic demeanor, very renounced. But Srila Prabhupada is, with this statement, is in one phrase correcting that misconception. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish. Childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word Samsuchitam, which is the second word of the verse. And now text 33, which gives a very nice metaphor on the today's topic. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam. Bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam tambunati chikitsitam. Vaishnavis, amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadevayamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport. O good soul, Does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Purport. An expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized. Just as by fire, iron is made red hot, and thereby the action of fire begins. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. That is the secret of spiritual success. We should not try to lord it over the material nature, nor should we reject material things. The best way to make the best use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation with the supreme spiritual being. Everything is an emanation from the Supreme Spirit, and by his inconceivable power, he can convert the spirit into matter and matter into spirit. Therefore, a material thing, so called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. The necessary condition for such a change is to employ so-called matter in the service of spirit. That is the way to treat our material diseases and elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane, where there is no misery, no lamentation, and no fear. When everything is thus employed in the service of the Lord, we can experience that there is nothing except the Supreme Brahman. The Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman is thus realized by us. Text 34. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. This is compared also to remove a thorn by using a thorn. So we have a thorn which is encrypted. Which is stuck. Stuck in our body, and it's very painful. So we take something like a needle, but something sharp to take it out. So we use a thorn to take out the thorn. So that is, we are entangled in karma bandhana, the material prison house of activities, of action. And by action, by dedicating our actions to the service of the Lord, we can stop that continuous cycle of karma bandhana. So basically, it's with the same, the same process that causes our entanglement is used to reverse the conditioning to a the conditional state of existence to a liberated state of existence. So, for example, also, the ayato virsayam pumsat sangaste supajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo vijayate. By contemplating the objects of the senses, we develop an attraction to them and we become entangled in activities related to them. So similarly, by engaging our senses in the service of the Lord, and this is actually sadhana bhakti, rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate, we revert the process of material existence and we become situated in our constitutional position in relation to the Lord. And this is the process of karma yoga explained here by Narada Muni and by Srila Prabhupada in the purports. And I like to read this last paragraph of this verse 34, which very nicely explains this process. The summary is that one has to, first of all, seek the association of pure devotees who not only are learned in the Vedanta, but are self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. In that association, the neophyte devotees must render loving service physically and mentally without reservation. This service attitude will induce the great souls to be more favorable in bestowing their mercy, which injects the neophyte with all the transcendental qualities of the pure devotees. Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So by performing service, we develop an attraction to hear about Krishna. And therefore, to be engaged in the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement is very important. That we do what we like to do or what we are naturally inclined to do, we do it for Krishna. If we like to teach, we teach for Krishna. We teach about Krishna. We teach professional activities in relation to Krishna consciousness, showing students how to use that in the service of the Lord. If we like to cook, then we cook for Krishna and for Krishna's devotees. If we like to clean, we clean Krishna's places, we clean Krishna's temple, we clean our place, remembering that our room, our house belongs to Krishna. Or we also go and we offer services. If we have our family duties, we can from time to time offer a cleaning service, for example in the altar or in the temple. Sometimes there is a need to clean, not just down but also up. So we can take our time also and clean the upper parts of the temple. Cobwebs. Yes, there are some sometimes. I just say because. So we can do that. We like to do these things, and we do them for Krishna. We can find always opportunities for the service of the Lord. If we like to manage, then we can manage for Krishna. Organize the aspects of the temple, organize a project to spread Krishna consciousness, organize very nice our family activities for the service of the Lord, so that everyone within our family, our community, is very nicely engaged in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada says that this will gradually create an attraction in our hearts to hear about the name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them, the knowledge of pure soul and his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. What may this mean, this expression, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies? What is the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies? Prabhupada is writing like that. Constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them, the knowledge of pure soul and his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. How do we understand this? Any thoughts? How we can understand? What is the constitutional position of the gross body and the subtle body? Very good. So the idea is that everything, all of Krishna's energies are meant to serve the Supreme Master of those energies, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, the constitutional position of the body is not indriya priti or sense enjoyment, but actually is to serve the senses of the Lord with the gross body. And we can engage the gross body in work, working for the Lord. That's karma yoga. Karma yoga, which is the beginning of bhakti yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, we find this correspondence between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. And Srila Prabhupada uses the terms sometimes interchangeably. Karma yoga technically is doing everything for Krishna. Bhakti yoga will be technically hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, praying, considering oneself a servant of the Lord, making friendship with the Lord, and surrendering everything unto the Lord. So we could say these are two different processes, but actually they are together. And karma yoga will be the beginning or the foundational stage from which we can build into the direct process of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna through the process of direct bhakti yoga. And the constitutional position of the subtle body is to think, feel, and desire for Krishna. Jai Radha Gopinath. So this will be and this will bring us, Prabhupada says here, to our eternal constitutional position of the self as servants of the Lord eternally. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation, pure devotional service to the Lord begins gradually developing into perfect knowledge of the personality of Godhead beyond the purview of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. By such Purushottama Yoga, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present corporeal existence, and one exhibits all the good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage. Such is the gradual development by association of pure devotees. text 35. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga. So we see here how Prabhupada interchanges the, and not just Prabhupada, but Narada Muni is using this Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga together. Yatatra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnanam yatat adhinan hi bhakti yoga samanditam. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. And Prabhupada says here that the general and popular notion is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritual realization. Bhakti yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. But factually, bhakti yoga is above both karma and jnana. Actually, karma and jnana, bhakti yoga will be the synthesis of both karma and jnana. Karma means action in this world. Jnana means transcendental knowledge which brings the soul to detachment from such material actions. And bhakti is the middle path. Means engaging all the actions with divine knowledge in the service of the master of everything. And this is, therefore, bhakti is superior. It's the constitution, it's the synthesis of all activities and all knowledge, and is the transcendental, is the constitutional transcendental position of the self. And therefore, Narada Muni is connecting these three, karma, jnana, and bhakti, and establishing bhakti as supreme, which is ultimately the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to establish the supreme glory of the Lord, or the glories of the Lord. Text 36. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. And in the purport, it's a long purport, Srila Prabhupada's mood becomes very, it's very much expressed. I'll read some section of the purport. The major portion of our monetary income, not less than 50%, must be spent to carry out the order of Lord Krishna. Not only should we give the profit of our earning to this cause, but we must also arrange to preach this cult of devotion to others, because that is also one of the orders of the Lord. The Lord definitely says that no one is more dear to him than one who is always engaged in the preaching work of the Lord's name and fame all over the world. The scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in carrying out his order. He wants the message of the Bhagavad Gita to be preached amongst his devotees. It may not be so done amongst those who have no credit of austerities, charity, education, etc. Therefore, the attempt must go on to convert unwilling men to become his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada's missionary spirit is communicated, how we can engage everything we have in the mission of the Lord, in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of all souls. And at the same time, engage ourselves in hear, chant, and engage others in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Later on, Prabhupada says, as such, 50% of our income may be spent for this purpose. In this fallen age of quarrel and dissension, if only the leading and wealthy persons of society agree to spend 50% of their income in the service of the Lord, as it is taught by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is absolute certainty of converting this hell of pandemonium to the transcendental abode of the Lord. No one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing, and refreshment are administered. Everyone will attend such a function, and everyone is sure to feel individually the transcendental presence of the Lord. And this is how Srila Prabhupada organized the Krishna consciousness movement. Chanting or singing, dancing, prasad distribution, eating feast, a nice prasad, the Sunday love feast. He designed the feast in such a way that in those years, love was used by the hippie, was the part of the hippie jargon. He designed the feast in such a way that everyone will love it and should still be like that. Even if the jargon may have changed, we don't use it anymore exactly the same, but everyone should love the Sunday feast. And whatever program we do should be arranged in such a way that there is very nice prasadam distribution so that people become attracted to our programs. This is still, it's something, we could say it's a principle that should be continued, shouldn't be stopped. When we go to, for example, to a university to preach, we always should bring prasadam. Even some devotees, they do it in book distribution. They take some ladus with them, some box, and then when they find some nice people, they offer them a ladu. Or even a person with whom they cannot connect through the book or philosophical discussion, they offer prasad and they make the person attracted. There is one devotee in Spain, Avesha Rupa Prabhu. He's distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for more than 30 years without stopping for more than a few days when he goes on pilgrimage or stops for Sangha, and he always brings prasadam with him. A little box, not too big, but something he can carry in his bag, and whenever possible offers to the people. Comments or questions on what has been presented so far before we continue with the last verses. You mean all the prasadam should be delicious? And well, we have prasadam three times a day, you know, And here there is plenty of Mahaprasad available. No, you don't even have to steal. You can go there and take it. You don't need to. In some temples, you have, in order to get Mahaprasadam, sometimes you have to steal to, or you have to have connections with someone in the Pujari department to get it, or with the Maharaj who gets the Maha. So, in some temples it's like that, but here it's not the case. We have plenty of prasadam. I don't think there is a scarcity. And the temple management and the cooks are endeavoring to provide good quality. If sometimes it diminishes, then somebody protests, and then then it's discussed and it's again put in place. Well, I guess we could have different perspectives on that, and everybody is welcome to contribute to this. What comes to mind is that in one way, yes, but in another way, there is not so much difference. The perhaps the big difference is that in those years, the way how it was expressed by the youth was you say contestatory? The mood was contesting the status quo. That was a counterculture mood. So not accepting what's established, the establishment in society. Whereas nowadays, people are more comfortable and actually they are attached to the establishment. Many times people, the grown-up children don't want to leave home. In many places it happens. They stay 30 years old, they stay at home. They have money, they have facilities, they have the internet. They can go out, have some sense enjoyment, and then come home, and they take the best of what they consider the best in terms of sense enjoyment of what they can get from the parents and then from outside home. But we do find many people who are inclined to spirituality and who are searching for answers. For example, in the yoga circles and there is a current, many more people are becoming vegetarian than before. So before we could say it could be more intense for the sector of youth who were contesting to what it was established, but now in one sense it's more widespread. And people talk about karma and mantra, even the politicians are using the terminology, the our own terminology. And such politician, his mantra is, and they say like that. I don't know if they do that in Britain, I think in Spain they do that. In Belgium, not so much yet. But sometimes I have written articles in newspapers, articles, sometimes checking what's going on. And the term is used, mantra. I know you ask people, what is karma? Recently, I lectured in one university in Spain, first-year university students. I asked them if they knew what karma was, and about 30% of them raised their hand. And I asked them what it was, and they could sensibly explain, in a sensible way explain what it was karma. You do something good, then you get something good. You do something bad, you get something bad in your destiny. They could say it in a very nice, very clear way. So it means that there is a very fertile field for spreading Krishna consciousness. But the way how to present it, the package, may have to be different than in those years. In those years, we could go and sing and dance wildly and even be dressed in a bit wild ways, and that will become attractive to the youth. Nowadays, if we do the same, we will have to spend, as Hridayananda Maharaj sometimes puts it, the next 10 years. Sometimes we go to a new place. I was discussing with one devotee, Chandrasekhar Acharya Prabhu. He's very much into, maybe too extreme in my opinion, but into be careful how we dress and how we address people. And he quoted this point Hridayananda Maharaj mentioned. We go to a new place, like to a small country. We do a wild harinam in front of the municipality to spread Krishna consciousness without getting a permission. It's the first time we go to the country. We don't get permission. We don't talk to the local authorities. We don't talk to anybody. Here we are. And then we spend the it's a bit sarcastic, if you like, but it has a point. Then we have to spend the next 10 years convincing the leaders of that country we are not crazy. So it may be better to go and meet the leaders there and establish a connection, cooperate with them, say we come here to do something for your country, and what can we do in a way that will be favorable, and integrate our mission into the interest of the people, and especially, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, of the leaders of society. Get them involved. So, anyway, this is related to your question. So I will say that there are many people who are into spirituality. Many people, and they are not just, oh, they are just Mayavadis, nonsense. Many of these people, just nobody went there and educated them about bhakti. Came to them in a nice way and gradually bring them to the principles of bhakti. Many of them will be ready for it. They are very sattvic. Sattvic people, they are close to bhakti if we engage them. Because many of them are just misguided by all the tradition of the Shankara propaganda, Shankara line, Shankaracharya, and all those Neo-Vedantis who came to the West, and also mundane scholars, and brought Advaita Vedanta as if it was the only Vedanta existing. So it's our duty to present Vaishnava Vedanta in a cultured way, a way that they will take it as, yes, this is part of the tradition, of the yoga tradition, of the spiritual tradition of India, and not just part, but this is actually the ultimate goal of Vedanta. Bhakti is the ultimate goal of Vedanta. And this is what Narada Muni is telling Vyasa to do, to systematically present those teachings. I'll read the last few verses, which move into the mood of becoming absorbed in the glorification of the Lord. And this is what Narada Muni did. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya Namak Sankarshanaya Cha. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudev along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Thus, He is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. O Brahmana, thus, by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with his intimate, loving service. And last verse, please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. Comments or questions on today's discussion? Nadia Vihari Prabhu? Yes, I mean, this. You are right that there may be different ways to understand the principle of 50% among different learned devotees. I'm sure if we will have such a discussion in among leaders of the movement, there will be different opinions. Because, for example, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Rupa Goswami, and I don't know, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu, he's our GBC representative. I don't know if this has been discussed lately at GBC level, among the GBCs. Like, how do we apply? It's one of those things people don't touch because it's kind of sensitive, like touching people's pockets, especially after many of them, especially the elder members of the community, they gave all their youth, they gave everything. They didn't give 50. They gave practically 100%. And then you go and touch the pocket 50%. They will say, don't touch there. But I'm sure there will be different opinions. And briefly, I can summarize some of those opinions as I have heard and discussed with different devotees. So it has not been discussed recently. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we talk 50%, but we don't give much. I would rather go for, as in the Christian traditions, they do the 10% of the gross and make it like educate everybody, not enforce it, but create a culture of giving, which is the main point. The main point is the culture of giving, and make everybody give 10%, which is, anybody can do it. I remember once in Chile, I met one devotee whose family are Mormons. And he told me that his mother, very poor in finances, still she was giving 10%. Because 10% is manageable. If you are very poor, then you give 10% of very poor, it's very poor 10%. So it's something you can manage. You have 1,000, okay, 100. But if they tell you 50%, you say, come on, give me a break. Then may not give anything because they're asking too much. Even people, experts in business, they say when you do fundraising, I'm not an expert in that, but this is what I have heard from experts. When you do fundraising, you have to ask the proper amount according to the person capacity. If you ask too much, then the person will not give. If you ask too little, we'll say, come on, you are asking too little. So ask according to the person capacity. So 50%, some say, like Prabhupada gives the example of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, when he retired from the service of the government, he had one or two boats full of gold coins, and then he divided that. 50% for the service of the Lord and his devotees, 25% for family members, 25% for personal emergencies. But you could say this was the profit, this was not the gross income, because this was the savings. So you could make a case for that. And then what about those who are giving work for the service of the Lord? Is those that count in the 50%, it's only the money that counts? So a whole discussion could take place. On the other hand, I do know devotees who have been very strict in selecting and giving 50%, but very few. You can count them maybe with one or two hands. I can remember now actually one, and I don't know if he's still doing. He did for many years. I don't see him for a long time. So I don't know how sustainable it is. Any comments? Like, you are laughing, so you must be laughing. Yes, of course, then the whole debate will come in high thinking, simple living, and then we cannot maintain because we have complicated too much the lifestyle and we have created so many artificial needs. There could be a whole discussion on that. But okay, yes, life is more complex nowadays. Half of our income is spent in housing. And before, how much it was? So something to take into account when we make the percentages. I don't know how much that helps to your question. This is what I will say. And as you said, we could have a whole istagosti on that and see what. But I would rather go for that. If I will have to recommend something to suggest something, I will propose 10% for everybody. Everybody create the culture. Don't enforce it, create the culture. 10% of the gross income for everybody. And then we can have a budget. Like now also the GBC budgets are, with all due respect, are so insignificant. You cannot do anything. How you can manage a whole society with such budget? We are something for the Ministry of Education, and we get peanuts because the budget is peanuts. So we get our little peanuts. If there will be 10%, like the Mormons, what they do, they get 10%, they're able to fund, give scholarships for students. They fund their university with thousands of students. They integrate religious education in the university, and their members don't have to go to secular, godless universities. And then they train missionaries who they send all over the world from their graduates. So they have a very, very sensible strategy just with the 10%. Yes, they got actually part of that 10% went to them, actually. So that naturally they feel like giving. Yeah. Okay, so we will stop here. Next week we will continue with chapter 6. If you like to do the reading ahead, please read chapter 6. We will discuss most of chapter 6 next week. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.